Do you trust God? You should. He's a whole lot smarter than we are. Here's Pastor Al Pittman.
And isn't that the way we come to worship sometimes? I don't know. Pick me up, Lord, deliver me. But, you know, God says, just trust me. I'll take care of you, you know. His ways are above our ways, just as an adult's ways are above the ways of a two-year-old. And so God knows what he's doing. It's a mystery to us. It's shrouded, it seems, as in the clouds of darkness that surround him. But what he wants us to do is to trust him, simply trust him.
Dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place. You are my dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place.
Christians of all ages have loved God's Word for its direction and the revelation of the Son of God. C.H. Spurgeon said that Scripture is the royal chariot in which Jesus rides. As we spend time with the Lord and His Word, we're directed to passages that may have special meaning for us at the moment, guidance for the day, comfort to get through a trial, or a glimpse into the future that we're promised. Psalm 97 speaks extensively about the return of Christ and all of the ramifications of that wonderful event. Today on The Dwelling Place, Pastor Al Pittman continues with his look at this great psalm. So join us and turn in your Bible to Psalm 97.
Matthew Henry writes, and he says this concerning this passage. He says, "There is a depth in his counsels which we must not pretend to fathom." Close quote. I like that because there are just some things people, you know, why did God? I don't know. And I love Paul's answers. We'll see in Romans where Paul talks about how God hardens one and doesn't harden another, and how he hardened Pharaoh and all that. And he used the argument, well, isn't God unjust to judge someone if he hardens him? And Paul says, who are you? Basically to question God. How can we know what everything that God is doing? And we, you know, for God to tell us, if God could explain everything to us, then we would be God. But the Bible says in Isaiah 55, verse 9, as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways above your ways. Amen. Like trying to explain to a two-year-old, you know, what you're doing, you know. I have four grandkids, and the youngest is Deshaun, and every time he sees me, it's so fresh. Your granddads, any granddaddies here, you know what I'm talking about. Don't they just melt your heart every time? You're like, Grandpa! You're like, oh, man, you know. You just be a putty in their hands. But, you know, trying to explain to him, sometimes I can't take you to my grandpa's house today. You know, I can't, you know, they don't understand. You know, and I think that's us sometimes. Amen. How come God hasn't done this? How come God hasn't done that? I can't stand there and try to counsel him, you know. I could be there all day long. He's still not going to get it because any time, even after I play with him, wrestle with him on the floor or whatever, when I get ready to go, you know, he doesn't get it. So you got to kind of leave him like this. And isn't that the way we come to worship sometimes? I don't know. Pick me up, Lord, deliver me. But, you know, God says, just trust me. I'll take care of you, you know. His ways are above our ways, just as an adult's ways are above the ways of a two-year-old. And so God knows what he's doing. It's a mystery to us. It's shrouded, it seems, as it's in clouds of darkness that surround him, you know. But what he wants us to do is to trust him, simply trust him, to not pretend we know everything, you see. Some things, Lord, we must confess. I don't know how you're going to work that out, Lord, but I'm going to trust you. Job said, yet though he may slay me, I don't understand it all. I'm going to serve him. I'm going to serve him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation. Latter part of verse 2. And justice are the foundation of his throne. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. The very habitation, your version might say habitation, the very habitation of his throne, which means that it is immovable. His righteousness and justice is not going to change. He's not going to change with the times. He's not going to all of a sudden go green or, you know. Boy, there's some stuff out there. I just listened to the radio today, the Democratic Convention up in, whether you're Democrat or Republican, some of that stuff is so silly, the stuff that they're doing. No fried foods, amen. I'm thinking, you're going to have no black folks there. Man, we got to have some fried food. You know, I mean, you know what I'm saying? You know, what are you going to be eating? You know, nuts and raisins or something? I mean, like, my goodness, just dumb stuff. Thinking themselves to be wise, the Bible says they became fools. But anyway, whether you're Republican or Democrat, a lot of this stuff is just so bizarre. But God doesn't change with society. He doesn't become politically correct. His throne is established in righteousness and justice. It's immovable. And therefore, the wicked, those who are in rebellion against God, will tremble before him. And the Bible says in verse 3 here, Psalm 97, the fire goes before him. What? To consume, to purify, and burns up, and to judge, I should add, and burns up his enemies round about. When Jesus comes back, he's not coming back as a lamb. He's not coming back to negotiate. He's not coming back to show mercy. He's not coming back to lavish grace upon. He's going to come back and he's going to burn up and judge in judgment all of his enemies. It's going to be a horrific time for some, those who are in rebellion against the Lord. Notice in verse 4, however, which is interesting, it says, his lightnings light the world, the earth sees and trembles. And it's interesting because of the tense in the Hebrew, and I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but according to those who are, as I was reading today about this, that the tense there, it changes. You know, we wouldn't notice it because we don't read Hebrew. Maybe some of you do, but I don't. But the tense changes in the language from present to past. So he's speaking in past tense in verse 4, which is interesting. Not due to some event. When he's talking about the light, the lightnings light the world, he's not talking about the lightnings that he saw maybe some time ago or whatever, but he's talking in the present, but he's speaking as if it's in the past. So he's prophesying here, speaking forth something as if it's already happened. And yet we know that Jesus is still yet to come. And I believe it's because he's being inspired by God, who sees the future as the past. And so in verses 5 and 6, he's speaking about things that have already happened when he says, the mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. You see, what God speaks in the present is in his mind has already happened. And so he's speaking prophetically here. The psalmist is inspired by the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of God, who knows, the Bible says, the end from the beginning, as Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 46, verse 10. God knows the end from the beginning. He always speaks that way. In fact, the Bible says, as we as believers, we are already seated with Christ in glory. Boy, that's a brain twister. No, I'm seated in Calvary Worship Center. No. In God's eyes, who knows the end from the beginning, you're already in glory. I'll let you just sleep on that tonight. You can kind of give me an essay next week. but that's though, he sees the end from the very beginning. We're trying to get someplace, and God already sees us. We have already arrived, and therefore, the Bible says he's able to present us blameless and faultless with exceeding joy in his very presence. Because as far as God's concerned, because we are in Christ, we have already won. We have already arrived. Amen. Hallelujah. That's good. I'd preach. Amen. The mountains melt like wax. The mountains will crumble and melt away at his coming. You say, well, the mountains, you know, Pikes Peak and all these mountains. Well, yeah, I don't believe that he's speaking about all the mountains of the earth, that he's speaking in particular about the Mount of Olives. And not all the mountains of the earth, because of the prophecies concerning that mountain. Now, they call it a mountain. You go see the Mount of Olives if you go to Israel with us, and the Mount of Olives looks like a hill of olives because it's really not that big. But it is called a mountain and referred to as a mount, of course, in Scripture. And so when he talks about it melting like wax, I believe he's speaking of the prophecy concerning the coming of Christ. The Bible says in Zechariah chapter 14, verse 4, that in that day, the day of Christ's coming, that his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west. making a large, very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north and half of it toward the south. When Jesus comes back, he's going to touch down on the Mount of Olives. It will split. There'll be this horrific earthquake. And Micah chapter 1, verse 4 tells us that the mountains will melt under him. And the valleys will split like wax before the fire. Remember, the Bible says here that fire will go before him. Amen? And it will split, the valleys will split like wax before the fire. That is the glory, the fire, the judgment of God. Like waters poured down a steep place. Wow. I don't know about you. That's going to be an awesome sight.
Pastor Al will be back in a moment with the second half of today's message from Psalm 97. When you support this radio outreach, you fulfill the most important aspect of receiving from the Lord, which is passing on that encouragement to others. The Dwelling Place is sharing the gospel message throughout the land, thanks to you. To make a one-time donation or to become a monthly supporter, just go to cwccs.org or text the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. You can also send a donation through the mail to The Dwelling Place, 501 Castle Road, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80904. And on behalf of Pastor Al, thanks for your support, both through donation and through prayer. Now, once again, here's our teacher, Pastor Al Pittman, to bring us the second half of today's study in Psalm 97.
The saints will be coming back with him, and those who have come to Christ during the tribulation, who have yet to be maybe martyred, because many of the believers will be martyred during that time under the leadership of the Antichrist, they will rejoice to see this happen. But, you know, it's going to be an amazing time. As Jesus comes back to the earth, steps down on that mountain called the Mount of Olives, and splits it, and it melts before him and parts before the eyes of the entire world. Because the Bible says, and all the peoples see his glory. All the peoples, the latter part of verse 6, and all the peoples see his glory. All the peoples mean all the nations. All the nations of the earth will see his glory. Now, before the advent of television and the internet and all that, people used to scoff at this prophecy. How is everybody in the world going to see his glory? We'll be getting some pictures in from CNN and Fox News and everybody else. We interrupt this program. You know, we've got a special event happening over in Israel. We need to show you this, and people will be able to see it. Before this time, people would scoff at this prophecy, but I believe God allowed knowledge to increase in the last days that this prophecy might come true. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, that in the end times, knowledge would increase. I mean, wasn't that long ago that we were the mode of transportation? Actually, for hundreds of years, thousands of years, was a horse and a wagon. Until, you know, the 100 years ago. And now we have the motor, you know, the vehicle, the cars, and now we're going to the moon, and all the knowledge has exploded in these last days. And I believe God has allowed it so that this prophecy also could come true, so people could see this happening right before their eyes, whether they're, you know, all over the world as Jesus returns to the earth. Of course, again, we believe that we as believers will be coming back with him. Amen. And so it'll be a glorious time. When the nations see this glorious and awesome sight, the Bible says that they will be ashamed. Verse 7 says, let all be put to shame who serve carved images, who boast of idols. Worship him, the one that's coming, all you gods. It doesn't say that there's these little gods, Zeus and all those hanging out around there, but it's just pointing out the fact that Jesus is to be worshipped. Worship him, and every god that you've trusted in or prayed to or believed in or had took comfort in, every god, everything's have to bow before his presence. The Bible tells us, Philippians, where Jesus, who humbled himself and became a man, and the Lord gave him the name that is above every name because of his humility and because of his sacrifice. And the Bible says that therefore every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. Every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There'll be no gods, nothing we can trust in, no place we can hide that will bring us or give us comfort or give comfort to the wicked, to those who have turned against the Lord. Now that's one response. They will be ashamed. But the other response is in verse 8. And he says, Zion hears and is glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgments, O Lord. Zion hears. Zion hears, that is the church of God. Zion, those who are righteous, those who are of the faith of Abraham, will hear and they shall rejoice. And so there's only two choices on that day. It's not going to be middle ground. It's not going to be Democrat, Republican, and independent. You know, it's going to be those who are ashamed at the coming of Christ and those who are rejoicing at the coming of Christ. There is no middle ground. Those are only two choices. So when Jesus comes, oh, he will come in glory. Amen. Looking forward to that day, Lord. In verse 9 to 12, he says, For you, Lord, are most high above all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. You who love the Lord, hate evil. He preserves the soul of his saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. Amen. Psalm 45, verse 7 says that God hates wickedness. He hates evil. And those who are righteous are like their God, hating evil as well. And so he says here, you who love the Lord, we say we love the Lord, we can't love evil. We can't serve two masters. If we love the Lord, hate evil, because God hates evil. Notice in verses 10 to 12, the presence of the Lord. He's speaking here about the presence of the Lord, that presence that caused the mountains to melt and the world to tremble and the wicked to be afraid, that fire goes before his presence that consumes the world. That presence that the world fears but that we rejoice in, that presence is a great benefit to the believer. And there are four things that he points out here in verses 10 to 12, four benefits that I want to leave you with this evening. Number one benefit is that God's presence preserves and delivers our soul. In his presence, he preserves us and he delivers us. The latter part of verse 10, he says, he preserves the soul of his saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. No weapon formed against us, the Bible says, will prosper. That word preserves actually literally means he watches tenderly over the souls of his saints. God watches over you. You know, we saw that Jesus said that he is the good shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. More personal. Why? Because he looks over my soul with a tenderness and a caring that only he can provide. And so the Lord literally preserves. He watches tenderly over the souls of his saints. So the Lord preserves his presence for the believer, for you tonight. His presence is given to you so that he can preserve and he can deliver you out of whatever you're going through. Here's the second benefit to us from the presence of the Lord. His presence illuminates our spirit continually. Verse 11, he says, light is sown for the righteous. His presence gives us illumination. It gives us wisdom. He sows, if you will, enlightenment, or a better word probably is understanding. He gives us understanding. How? Through the wisdom of his word. His word grants us understanding. It illuminates our soul. It grants us wisdom. So in the presence of the Lord, we find wisdom. It illuminates our understanding. And here's the third thing that his presence provides. His presence sows gladness in our hearts. In the latter part of verse 11, and gladness for the upright in heart. He gives us gladness. And the Bible tells us in Psalm 16:11 that in your presence, Lord, is the fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. In God's presence. For the believer, there is no condemnation. And Paul said right now, now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In the presence of God, if you feel condemned, it's not God. He may convict us, and that is only to draw us to his heart. But he doesn't condemn us. And so in his presence, there is only for us as believers the very fullness of joy. You can't find any better joy. You can't buy any better joy than the very presence of the Lord. Amen. And at his right hand, pleasures forevermore. And then fourthly, in his presence is our memorial. Our memorial. Why do I say that? Verse 12, he says, rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. Rejoicing and thanksgiving at the remembrance of his name. And every first Sunday of the month, we have a communion service for that very purpose, to remember the name of our God. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, you've heard the words, I've read them for many years, you know, at communion time. And basically, the Lord reminded us to eat the bread, to take and eat in remembrance, Jesus said, of me. And then he said, this cup, to drink it in remembrance of me. To remember the name of Christ. To remember that he is our memorial. At my in-law's house, they have old pictures around of, you know, my father-in-law when he was a young man. And my mother-in-law, you know, she's just a young lady. And there's a picture one time, I remember looking through their picture book, and there's one picture in there, and I recall someone saying that that's the picture, or my father-in-law telling me that that's the picture that he carried all the way through World War II. Little picture that he kind of stuck in his helmet or in his hat or whatever. And in those times, he was unsure, you know, of himself, or wondered what he was enduring all this for. He would pull that picture out. You see that beautiful young lady, you know. Yeah, I can fight on another day, you know, to get home to her. And a lot of men have done that. And I say ladies as well, who are in combat, pulling that picture out of that loved one, saying, I can make it another day. And the Lord has given us his name, giving us his presence as a memorial. Oh, we don't see Jesus face to face right now. We haven't seen what John saw in Revelation chapter 1. But one day we will see him as he is. And we, you know, haven't seen him in the physical. And of course, Thomas said, if I don't see his holes in his hands and put my fingers in there and in his side, he said, I won't believe. But Jesus said, Thomas, you know, blessed are those who believe and who have not seen. Blessed are those who have me as a memorial. Blessed are those who can look into my word, who can look at the photograph, who can be blessed by my presence, because it's merely a foretaste, folks, of what we will see face to face one day. I can't wait.
This has been The Dwelling Place, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Al Pittman, senior pastor at Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. If you enjoy Pastor Al's teaching ministry, we have some good news for you. You can listen, watch, or download an archive of past messages and our current series in the Book of Acts with a simple mouse click at cwccs.org. Just click the Messages tab at the top of the page. And while you're checking out our website, be sure to download the Calvary Worship Center app for your device and take Pastor Al wherever you go. The Dwelling Place is also available at oneplace.com. And I would also like to ask you to take a few moments today to send Pastor Al an email and let him know that you enjoy The Dwelling Place on this station. You can also share a prayer request with us. Just send an email to amen@cwccs.org. We're excited to announce that our Calvary Worship Center online store is now available at cwccs.org. You can order shirts, Pastor Al's books, music, and more. Every purchase goes back into the ministry to further the gospel and help support this radio ministry. Just go to our website at cwccs.org and click on the store tab and make your purchase today. If you live in the Colorado Springs area and are looking for a church home, or you'll be visiting the area in the future, we invite you to come join us for worship here at Calvary Worship Center. You'll find directions and more information at cwccs.org. And no matter where you are, you can watch our services via live streaming right there at our website. You'll find directions and service times for both locations at cwccs.org. Have a wonderful day in the Lord. The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman is presented by Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado.